We're in a series called Once Upon a Marriage, and in this series, we're examining some of the married couples in the Bible, and we're allowing their marriages to speak into our lives. And today, we're going to talk about Abram and Sarai, and I will mostly call them by their God-given names, which is Abraham and Sarah. But y'all know it's the same people, different names, okay? God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And this morning, I want you to do an exercise, but I just want you to imagine, okay, today, if you're single, I want you to think with me for a moment. Let's say that one day you plan on getting married. For a moment, I want you to imagine what your marriage would be like. Okay, just think about what is the ideal marriage? What do you picture marriage being? Now, if you're here today and you're already married, just think about back to your pre-marriage days. Think back to the time before you were married, and I want you to think about your idea of what marriage would have been like was back then. Okay? And if you're like most people, it's probably something like this, okay? You were probably in love, right? That's usually step one, right? And when you're in love, it's not uncommon to have a medical condition known as the tingly winglies. So you're in love, you're infected with the tingly winglies, and it's contagious, and they got the tingly winglies, and y'all just tingly wingly all the time, right? So you had the tingly winglies, and you had all these hopes and dreams of what marriage was going to be. And you may have even imagined that the tingly winglies would follow you the rest of your life and stay with you throughout your marriage. But oftentimes, reality is nothing like that, is it? If you fast forward 5 years into marriage, or 8 years, or 12 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, or 45 years, many people would say, well, you know, we're not trying to keep the tingly winglies, we're just trying to stay married. We're just trying to keep from choking each other, right? Come on, we're just trying to keep the kids out of jail and trying to keep the house from burning down and trying to keep the bills paid. Why? Because our expectations in the beginning don't always line up with reality. Sometimes in the middle of marriage, you may stop and say to yourself, this is not what I expected. Sometimes things are better than you imagine, but other times it's worse than you imagine. But either way, things rarely go as expected. Amber and I, when we got married, we had a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams. We had big dreams when we were engaged, and God has blessed us, and yet He's blessed us in ways that we had not imagined in the beginning. In fact, growing up in North Carolina, I would always joke. I said, "I'll live anywhere. I'll live anywhere but Goldsboro. Lord, don't send me to Goldsboro. I'll live anywhere." Look where God sent me, right? Listen, right in the middle where I said I wouldn't move. Listen, we had not imagined that we would ever live in Goldsboro. We had never really imagined that we'd have kids. And all I can say is it was nothing like we had planned. In many ways, it's much, much better. Okay, but everything is different from what we had originally imagined. And many of you right now are going to look at your life and say, this is nothing like what I had planned. Maybe by this point in life, you plan to be married and you're not. Or maybe you're married and your marriage isn't what you hoped it would be. If you look at your life and you think, this is not like I had planned, I believe that the story of Sarah and Abraham will speak to you today. Look with me at Genesis chapter 12 again. Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out from your country and from your family and to your father and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God makes this incredible promise to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. And in you, I'm going to bless the whole world. What an amazing promise. But notice in verse 1, the first thing that God tells him, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. In other words, you have to leave where you are. Abraham was living in a comfortable place. Abraham was very happy with the status quo. You see, Abraham was living in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. And Ur of the Chaldees is one of the most interesting places in the Bible because for centuries, scholars said it doesn't exist. Some of those brilliant scholars on earth, archaeologists said there's no way that the city exists. We have no indication of a civilization called the Chaldees, and we certainly have no evidence of the city of Ur. That is, until they discovered it in 1922. And what they found was amazing. It's located halfway between Baghdad and the Persian Gulf. And according to archaeologists, Ur of the Chaldees was the first major city in the world. It was like the New York City of ancient times. And not only did Abraham live in this ancient city, but he also belonged to a very wealthy family there. You see, Abraham was very, very comfortable. His camel was a Bentley. He had a Gucci saddle. His chariot had 20s with spinners. Is that still a thing? Spinners, that's still cool. His chariot had spinners on it. See, Abraham was a prosperous man living in a prosperous city, and yet God said to him, leave your place of comfort so I can bless you. So many times God calls us out of our comfortable places so that he can get us in a position where he can bless us. Genesis 12:1, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, go. And I believe that some of you, as you open your hearts to God, he's going to tell you it's time to leave your comfort zone and venture out into the zone of the unknown. The unknown zone, as I like to call it. And that is a journey we call faith. Faith means leaving the comfortable places. Faith is leaving the familiar. Faith is abandoning the status quo and following God to a place of total dependence upon him. God told Abraham, leave what you know and put your faith in what I know. Now we know Abraham was not perfect. And we know from the rest of the story that he made a lot of mistakes. But above all else, Abraham is known for his faith in God. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That sounds crazy to you and me, but to God that sounds a lot like faith. Faith is believing what God says, even if everybody else is saying something different. All right. Faith is taking God at his word. Now, I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Imagine for a moment that God spoke to you and said, leave your country and leave your home and go to a place that I will show you. You know what most of us would say? Some of y'all just say no. Most of us will say, okay, God, I'll go, but I need a job offer in writing. I need a realtor to find me a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, and I need to know what the school systems are like, and I'm going to need the latest financial report of this city that you're telling me that you're leading me to. God, I need some details. That's how we are. God, I want details. And God says, no, I want you to go. And then I'll give you the details. Amen. Faith is trusting God when you don't have details. Yes. That's why we call it faith. The truth is, God knows that sometimes we can't handle the details, can we? Amen. If God had showed you all of the details, listen, some of y'all would chicken out from the beginning because you couldn't handle it. No, God needs you to go and trust Him with the details. Don't miss out on the blessings. God doesn't show us the details because some of us can't handle it. For others of us, if God gives us the details, we're like, okay, thank you, Lord. I'll take it from here. Sometimes God won't let you know the details. He'll put you in a place of total faith so you don't try to take control of the situation. Let's get quiet. I better keep going. So Abraham and Sarah get this incredible promise from God where God tells them, I'm going to make you a great nation. In other words, you're going to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great. Y'all get the picture. I'm going to make you a great nation. That's a whole bunch of youngins, as they say. And eventually, there will be so many people that you're a great nation and I'm going to bless the whole world through them. And God gives them the amazing promise, but first, they have to go. And as we examine the journey of Abraham and Sarah, and as they pursue the promise of God, we see that things often do not go as planned. See, for Abraham and Sarah, things did not happen as they had hoped they would. And when things don't go as expected, they face three different temptations. And I'm going to tell y'all this. You know this already. Life is not going to always go as you had planned. And when you're faced with unexpected things, you and I, we all face the same three temptations that Abraham and Sarah faced. So it's my prayer today that you and I, we would learn from these same temptations so we don't make these same mistakes. Are you ready this morning? Three temptations that they fell into. And I see in these three temptations, three great lessons for us. Number one. The temptation to compromise. The temptation to compromise. One of the first challenges that Abraham faces, he goes to the place God said go. He obeys the Lord. He goes to the promised land. But when he's in the promised land, he finds himself in the midst of a famine. Have you ever been right in the will of God and still found yourself face to face with trouble? Yes. Here he was following God. And look at what Genesis 12:10 says. Now there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, he said to Sarah his wife, indeed, I know that you sure do look good. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Boy, the Bible is a scandalous book, isn't it? It wasn't unusual in certain ancient cultures to kill a man in order to steal his wife. And that sounds barbaric to you and me, but that was a reality of the ancient world in which Abraham lived. And when he's faced with this problem, instead of standing in faith, he responds out of fear. He says to Sarah, you're incredibly beautiful. They'll probably kill me, so just tell them that you're my sister. Abraham and Sarah have some Joe Dirt stuff going on there. Okay, Abraham, that's not a good idea. Guys, just so you know, it's not a good idea to tell your wife to tell everybody she's your sister. Abraham was so afraid that he said, Sarah, I want you to tell him you're my sister. And the truth is, that was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. Again, that's also not the lesson today. Like I said, it's not a perfect story. But there's perfect truth that we can learn from the story. Abraham is afraid, so he acts out of fear. And here's the problem with acting in fear. Fear will cause you to compromise. Rather than trusting in God to protect them, Abraham compromises and he lies to save his own hide. And basically, if you want to get real with it, Abraham was pimping out his wife. If we're going to be real and read into what the Bible is saying, okay, he throws his wife under the bus. And listen, that's what fear will do. Fear will make you do unthinkable things. Because God operates through faith, but the devil operates through fear. And because Abraham compromised out of fear, he put his own family in danger. Church, God has called us not to live in fear. He's called us to be people of faith. Yes. I want us to think back to when God appeared to Abraham. Remember what God promised him. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. In other words, I'm going to bless you with children and children's children and children's children. Last time I checked, dead people can't have kids. And yet here is Abraham compromising to try to preserve his own life, when if he had only thought back to the promise God had given him, he would have known, okay, God's going to preserve me to fulfill what he promised. So when Abraham took matters into his own hands, essentially he was saying this: God, I don't trust you to do what you promised. God told him, I will bless you with children. But instead of Abraham trusting God to preserve him, he compromised and he lied and he got himself in a mess. And the truth is, you and I do the same thing all the time. So many people live in fear and compromise and miss out on the blessings of God. That's why so many people today in our culture don't get married. They just don't do that anymore. Why? Because they're afraid. It's fearful. What if it doesn't work out? What if he cheats? What if she nags? What if we get divorced, right? So instead of walking in God's blessings in marriage, people just avoid it altogether and they compromise out of fear. People do the same thing in their finances. God has called us to tithe, but you think, well, what if I lose my job? Or what if the car breaks down? Or what if we don't have enough money? Come on. Got one amen over here on this side. We compromise. And let me just go ahead and tell you, if you don't tithe, you'll never have enough money. It's what the Bible says. When you don't tithe and honor God with your finances, it will never be enough. Why? Because you're operating under a curse rather than under the blessings of God. So rather than walking in faith, we compromise because of fear, and we end up driving stolen cars and wearing stolen clothes and making calls on a stolen phone. Oh, shoot. That wasn't in my notes, y'all. You get a letter today. My email address is PastorRob@GenerationChurch. Instead of walking in faith, we compromise because of fear. Maybe God is calling you to adopt a child, or to start a business, or to start a ministry. Listen, all of those things can be frightening. They can be terrifying. But when you enter the unknown zone, you have to make up your mind. Am I going to trust God? Or am I going to be driven by fear? Amen. Listen, it can be scary. I've had Abraham moments where God's called me to leave where I was and follow him. I remember we were living in Wilson and had a good job and living in a brand new house. And my wife and I tell you something, when you fast and pray, you better watch out, because God might just mess you up. We had been fasting and praying, and God spoke to us and said, I'm calling you out of where you are. And I'll never forget, I got a phone call one day from a guy named Johnny Lee Cook. Y'all know who that is? And he said, Josh, I want you to come to Wilmington. He said, I believe God's in it. I believe that you need to come. You need to move. And I said, yes, and then I hung up the phone. And immediately fear started creeping in. I started getting terrified, thinking, Lord Jesus, we got a nice house and my wife's got a good job and that check's coming in every other week. Praise the Lord, got my sugar mama thing going on. And in one phone call, I said yes to walk away from all of those things. She was going to have to find a new job. We were going to have to sell our house and move everything to a place where we haven't been before. And I almost called him back and said, I can't go. Because I was afraid. I was terrified. Listen, when you step out in faith, it's scary sometimes. But I said, nope. We fasted. We prayed. We made up our mind that we're going to trust God even when we don't know the details, even when it seems scary. We're going to trust Him. Listen, you're going to have an Abraham moment in your life. You're going to have a moment where God is stirring you up and challenging you to get out of your comfort zone. And in that moment, you need to understand there's going to be some fear involved. Because faith and fear always run parallel to one another. And you just have to make up your mind. Instead of being driven by fear, I'm going to stand in faith and trust God and follow Him where He leads me. So don't compromise. Trust God. Abraham compromised, and it could have been a total disaster. He threw his wife under the bus, but thankfully God stepped in and He protected her. If your husband fails to be the man of God he ought to be, there are times when the Lord Himself will step in and preserve you. God stepped in and He protected Sarah. Three temptations that we have to avoid. Number one, the temptation to compromise. Number two, and this is a big one, the temptation to get ahead of God. Amen. The temptation to get ahead of God. This is so common. We live in an instant gratification culture. We want it right now. So common. If I go buy Krispy Kreme and that hot now sign isn't on, it just ruins my day. Why? Because I want it hot. I want it now. We want it right away. We get tired of waiting. We don't like waiting for things. And when we get tired of waiting, so many times we get ahead of God. And this is what Sarah did. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Oh, you're going to blame God, huh? The Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham said, okay. Now, guys, before you get all excited, just remember her name was Hagar. Hagar. I just picture like a female bodybuilder with hair under her arms and big old muscles. I want a baby. Right? I just figured I'd go ahead and mess that story up for y'all. In case you're going in the wrong direction on that. But I want you to notice something significant that Sarah says in verse 2. Sarah said, please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Notice what she did not say. She didn't say God can do this. She didn't say perhaps God will give us children. No, she said perhaps I can give us children. In other words, she took things into her own hands. Instead of saying God has got this, she said I've got this. She got ahead of God. How many times, y'all, do we do the same old thing? We get tired of waiting, so we try to take things into our own hands, and we get ourselves ahead of God's schedule. Maybe it's a single girl. You've been looking for a Christian husband, but it seems like everybody you know is getting married, and you get tired of waiting. So instead of waiting for a Christian guy, you just settle for a guy. A wallet and a pulse. You lower your standards. You're getting ahead of God. Maybe you know that God has promised to bless you. You know that God has promised to provide for you, but instead of trusting in Him, what do? You get tired of waiting. So you go out and you get in debt and you buy things you want and you put a financial noose around your neck because you're spending beyond your means. You're getting ahead of God. Maybe you're a wife who's married to a non-Christian man and you want so desperately for him to serve God, but instead of winning him over with love and humility and kindness and compassion, you get tired of waiting, so you start beating him overhead with the Bible, tell him you're going to hell, you're going to go to church this Sunday if I got to drag you by your neck. You get tired of waiting, so you get ahead of God. Listen, God is rarely early, but He's always on time. We don't always understand God's timeline, but His timing is perfect. Learn to trust His timing. This is something a mentor of mine taught me. Listen, waiting on God is not meant to be a passive time of waiting. Waiting on God is not a passive thing. We should be actively waiting on God. And somebody taught me this. And they said, you got to be aggressively patient. I said, what? You've got to learn how to be aggressively patient. Don't just sit there and wait and look at your watch and think, when is God going to move? When is God going to make this happen? While you're waiting on God, that's your time to work and to prepare and to get ready. There's a difference between waiting, like sitting down and waiting and look at your watch, but there's another type of waiting, and you're going to experience some of that today when you go out to eat for lunch. You're going to have a waiter or a waitress wait upon you. Come on, Bobby. When God has you in a season of waiting, that's your time to wait upon the Lord, to serve Him, to work and to prepare and to get ready for the promise and the blessing. Tell somebody, don't waste the wait. So our second warning is this: don't get ahead of God. Sarah got so tired of waiting that she took things into her own hands. And y'all know the rest of the story, and the rest is history. All of the wars and the fighting in the Middle East, the rise of Islam and ISIS, it can all be traced back to Hagar's son. And it's all because somebody decided to get ahead of God. Tell your neighbor, don't get ahead of God. Musicians, you guys can go ahead and come. This is my last point this morning. Three temptations for us to avoid. Number one, the temptation to compromise. Number two, the temptation to get ahead of God. And number three, the temptation to doubt the promise. The temptation to doubt the promise. Just think with me for a moment of Abraham and Sarah. God promises to bless them with children. They get excited. That's wonderful. That's great. They're decorating the nursery. They're picking out baby names. And a year goes by. Nothing happens. So, well, okay, it didn't happen in the first year. Not surprised. Maybe it'll happen in the second year. Another year goes by. Nothing happens. 3 years go by. Nothing happens. Four years go by, and nobody brings it up anymore. Nothing has happened. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And by Genesis chapter 17, it had been 30 years since God appeared to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a great nation. Genesis 17, God appears to Abraham, and this time He specifically says, you're going to have a son. And look how Abraham, the father of faith, responds. Genesis 17, 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? In other words, God, I am old. That's impossible. Look, Lord, you don't understand. They haven't invented Viagra yet, and things don't work like they used to. That's what he's saying. Lord, stuff just doesn't function the way it used to function. Lord, are you kidding me? I might have believed you a few years ago, but Lord, I'm old. The school bus doesn't drop off kids at the nursing home. And Sarah does the same thing. Genesis 18:12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Abraham and Sarah both laughed at the thought because to them it was absolutely impossible. But then God makes a statement that must have pierced their souls, just as I pray that it will pierce our souls here today. God makes this statement, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I believe that in that moment, there was something that shifted in their faith, that all of that doubt and unbelief and manipulation began to give way. And I believe that something happened inside of them where we said, okay, we can take God at His word. And if you're here this morning, you're listening to this message, maybe there are some things in your life that you've given up hope on. Let me say to you this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe you've been believing God for children and it hasn't happened yet. Listen, is anything too hard for the Lord? If He did it for Abraham and Sarah, He can do it for you. Maybe you're in a financial mess right now and you don't see any way out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe you're facing a medical diagnosis and you just don't know what to do because medically speaking, there's nothing that can be done. Let me ask you something. Is anything too hard for God? For our God is the God who brings the dead to life again and speaks those things that be not as though they were. You say, well, my husband will never serve God. Pastor, you just don't know how bad he is. Is anything too hard for God? Don't you think for a minute that the presence and the power of God can't hit him and get a hold of him, and God can change him and set him free and wash him in the blood of Jesus and fill him with the Holy Spirit? There's nothing that God can't do. You say, well, Pastor, my children, my kids have been running for God for so long. I just don't think they're ever going to serve Him. Is nothing too hard for the Lord? The Bible tells me that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I understand that sometimes life doesn't turn out as planned, but when that happens, and especially when that happens, you need to remember that there's nothing that God cannot do. Put your trust in Him, embrace Him, lean upon Him, depend upon Him, because even when you're weak in faith, our God is still faithful. Listen, we know that Abraham made a lot of mistakes. He messed up time and time again, but in the end, he trusted God and he was known for his faith. Because from that day forward, Abraham never doubted God again. Look what the Bible says about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, I pray that we would become fully convinced today that God is able to do what he promised. Listen, there's a difference between fact and truth. Facts change all the time. But truth never changes. And truth is greater than fact every single time. So no matter what type of facts you're facing in your situation today, I challenge you to stand on the unchanging truth of the Word of God. I challenge you. Trust in God today. The Bible tells us in Psalm 25:3 that no one who trusts in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Will you stand this morning as we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Pray with me for just a moment today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take today's message, Lord, and touch our hearts today as we stand in your presence. Lord, that we would learn from your word. God, that we would fall into the same traps, Lord, of compromise, of getting ahead of you. That we wouldn't fall into the same trap of doubting God. But Lord, I pray that faith would stir up in every heart today. Lord, that we would live this life fully persuaded that there is nothing too hard for you. Help us, Lord, to trust you completely. God, I pray for those who are single today, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that they would trust you and not waver, God. Believing, Lord, that if they desire in their heart to be married, God, that you'll lead them to the right person, that they don't have to compromise, but they can trust you that you're faithful and that your timing is perfect. God, I pray for married couples today. Lord, those who are facing challenges, those who would say life is not at all like I thought it would be. Lord, I pray that right in the middle of their problems, God, that they would trust you, that they would invite you into their marriage, God, to be the center of their relationship. And Lord, that from this day forward, God, they would not waver, but they would trust you and take you at your word, that there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, may we be people of faith. God, I thank you that even at times when we're weak in our own faith, Lord, that still you are faithful. And God, we will trust you and take you at your word today. As we continue to pray this morning, I want you to think about where you stand with God today. Because the truth is, there's nothing in this life that matters more than your relationship with God. And if we're going to be just really honest this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God, then maybe you're not in good standing with the Lord and you need to fully surrender and commit your life to Him today. We've talked a lot about faith this morning. Listen, that's the greatest step of faith of them all, is putting your faith in Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should brag about it." Listen, God doesn't save you by your good works. Church attendance won't save you. Doing good deeds won't save you. Feeding the poor won't save you. There is only one thing that will save you, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. You're not saved by works. You put your faith in the one who's already done the work for you. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and my sins. God raised him from the dead, and Jesus is alive forevermore. And he will be the Lord of your life if you put your faith in him. Here's a wonderful thing about Jesus. He never judges your future based on your past. I don't care where you've been, what you've been doing, what you've done. It does not matter to God. He said, "You just come to me, put your faith in me. I'll forgive you. I'll wash your sins away. I'll make you brand new. I'll give you a hope and a future." If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, today is your day and now is your moment. This is your time to trust him with your life. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning to help you start that journey of faith. And I want to ask everybody here to pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus, with your help. I will follow you. I will trust you. I will worship you. I will praise you. I will tell other people about you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it with your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Bible says your sins are forgiven, they're washed away. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are a new creation. Now what I want to do, I want to make the devil mad. You want to make the devil mad this morning? Don't be scared. He can't do nothing about it anyway. Come on, just throw up your hands and make this declaration. Come on, say, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I've been set free. I belong to Jesus. Come on now, just look down under your feet and say, devil, I don't belong to you anymore. I belong to God. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. I am an overcomer. Sin has no power over me. The world has no power over me. Come on now, give him praise for a moment this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus.